Good morning, boys. Do you have any prayer requests this morning? Preaching your word in Cuba. Pray that you would be with us here today to help us to have ears to hear, hearts to understand. Just pray that you would give us today all those things that we have need of and forgive us in the same way that we forgive others. Let's pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're reading in Job. Service before we buried him. And I remember wondering what the But the minister who would get up would say, and he quoted this verse, at least the last part of it, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be his name." And he also said that every time something like that happens, he thanks God for it. Because those are those kind of things are the things that have an impact, a lot of times either for better or worse, on our lives. So when you go through something that seems hard, just thank God for it and be glad. Because looking back, I can see that time. It helped me in a lot of ways. Just most notably, you boys, I think your parents teaching you how to pray. And when I grew up, I wasn't taught how to pray other than out of the book. And when that happened, it was the first time I ever prayed with someone else without a book. So that was pleasant. I also just thought I'd share for whatever, just kind of a testimony of a blessing. When I wasn't at home the day that Sylvester broke his arm, and when Maria and the children got the news about it, she got the children together and asked them if they wanted to pray for Sylvester. And so they did, and when it was Cale's turn to pray, he thanked God that Sylvester had fallen out of the tree, broken his arm. So just kind of a blessing. Most of us don't thank the same God for things like that. Anyway, just wanted to share that. That's our reading in chapter 4. And when I was reading over this, I noticed how, and just think about it while we're reading it, a lot of, when Jesus was being crucified and tortured, the chief priests and the scribes came and said, "He helped others, you know, he can't save him, he can't help himself now, he can't save himself." And they also said that, well, he said he was the Son of God, you know, if he really is, if he's a righteous person, if he's the Son of God, surely these things would, this would happen to him. He would come down from the cross, and he wouldn't allow himself to be used in this way. As I was reading this, through this chapter, I could see that his friends' response to Job was similar to that, in the same way to us read. "Then Elisha the Temanite answered and said, 'If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hand. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knee. But now it hath come upon thee, and thou fainteth, it toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. Or where will the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same.'" They're just accusing him. They're saying, "If you really were a righteous man, these things would not have happened to you." I think that's part of the reason why God was so grieved with these. At the end of Job, we'll read how God was very displeased with what these men told Job. Even as I have seen, and actually before we, I did read that, but there's a lot of people now, a lot of churches, even among churches that would read plainly, who teach that, who question whether a person is righteous based on the fact that maybe he's kind of poor, he doesn't have a lot of money, can't make a lot of money, his wife is often sick, things just don't go very well. And that's not right. Jesus taught us that the poor are better. And it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we see that Job here was faithful. He was faithful while he had all of his things, and he was faithful in God. By the blast of God, they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion, and the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lion are broken. The old lion perishes for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now a thing that was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep fall upon men. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with calling, how much flesh in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the mouth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die even without wisdom. That last part of that chapter is hard for me to understand for sure what Eliphaz is saying. But it seems like he's claiming to have a vision or a revelation from God about Job's situation. And we can see from what he has said, especially in the first part, that he doesn't understand what it means to be righteous. And that God lets it rain on the just and the unjust. See, when it rains, it doesn't just rain on the people who do what's right. It doesn't just rain on their corn and not rain on a neighbor who does evil things. God is good to everyone. And okay. Unless you have any questions, I don't have a chance to. You don't have anything? Okay, I don't remember what the verses were about or what you were supposed to do. So, let's just start over here with Susan and go around. Maury, if you're ready, you can share yours until we find
it. Ephesians 6, 5 and 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. not with eye service as men pleases, but as the service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
Luke 17:10. So also when you have done all those things which you are commanded to do, say we are unworthy servants and we only have done our duty.
John 12:26. If any man serve me, may you let him follow me.
That was Jesus that said that. Yes. You know what it is? He said, I'm a man under authority, and I say to my servants, do it, and he does it.
Luke 17:10. So, he likewise, when he shall done all the things which are commanded you, say we are uncomfortable servants, we have done that according to the duty to do.
Matthew 20:26.
Being a servant is what being a Christian, a follower of Christ, is all about Christ. It's all about serving, helping other people, doing things for other people. When he was here, showing us how to do it. Just one more thing I thought about when we were talking about, when I was talking about riches and how it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And a person like Job lost everything that he had. Job had never heard Jesus' teaching about selling what he had and giving to the poor. And that's a person who is rich, the only way that he can keep what he has is by laying it up in heaven. Does anyone know what it means to lay up treasures in heaven? If you have something here, how can you lay it up in heaven? Now, do you have to have a lot of money in order to lay up treasures in heaven? There was a widow that had two pennies. It wasn't even worth what two pennies are worth now. It was two little coins. And Jesus said that she laid up more treasure in heaven than all the people who had just thrown in some of their extra money. And Jesus also said, all you have to have is, if you have food, a little bit of food, and you share it with someone who doesn't have any, you're laying up treasures. If you have an extra coat, see someone that's cold on a cold day, I know we don't often, but every once in a while, we do. That's laying up treasures. So, always remember that naked, as Job said, naked. We came into this world with nothing. We didn't take anything with us at all. We're just servants of God and using the things that He gives us and trusts to us while we're living here. So, we just miss our blessings.